So the title is Tools for Enhancing the Development and Delivery of Online Courses. I plan to just touch on some different topics, and I brought some of the camera gear that I'll be talking about, so if you want to see that. And then the different software, I'm going to just show just a little bit of information about each one. To start off, the one course that I do teach fully online is Ag 102, Introduction to Plant Science. And for this course, the students do have a lab kit, and they conduct the experiments at home. And it's based on Moodle, is the LMS used. And the apps that I'm going to mention all are linked in through Moodle. This is just a screenshot of the Moodle page. For Moodle, they've started to increase the frequency of updates, and as long as your server is updated, they're expanding the features available. I was just at a Moodle Mood in Australia, and they're adding more features that make it possible to do have gaming features and have badges to help increase the interactivity directly within Moodle. But at this point, I've been exploring things outside of Moodle. I saw some really nice templates, and the interfaces are really getting impressive of what you can do. If you happen to look up Moodle Moot in Kings, the actual website is Moodle-based. It's interesting to see the layouts that they have available now that they're using. The first cloud app that I wanted to mention is SoftChalk. I've found it to be pretty useful. One thing is that these end up getting to be fairly expensive to support, but I find it to be very useful. It's available as a cloud app and also as a desktop app, and I produce lessons within SoftChalk, and then the students get to it through a link from Moodle. They can do activities, and the scorings of the activity are posted back into your Moodle gradebook. This is an example, a screenshot of one of the lessons. The picture that's there is from touching. These are hot links, and so you touch those, and the pictures pop up. You can do different types of interaction like that. Mostly, what I'm trying to do is Moodle is just still too static. And so I'm looking at ways of enhancing the interaction. And so I've started to put lessons in that include things like this. Here's an activity for labeling the families. In this case, the boxes all show up at the bottom, and they drag them into these blank boxes. I have a blank here. Some of these I've already put in. And then it's showing the scoring of the activity. These are things where they can repeat it. So you can just restart it, and it resets it. And so you can just put a picture in there and then generate the boxes, the text for that. So it's pretty much, it doesn't take a lot of work to do these types of activities. Don't want to click the wrong button there. Another thing, cloud tool that I use is SOGSite.org, and this is to measure student assessment of their learning gains. So this is a questionnaire. It's a site where you it has a template, and then you can modify the questions, and you can have the students answer it to see how they feel they're learning the course materials. So this was developed in '97, and SOGSite.org is the site. This is a free site to use. This is a sample of the questionnaires, and so the students will rank their opinion. I do this at the beginning of the semester, and in some courses I do it partway through to just see if I need to do mid-course corrections, and then at the end of the semester. I found these very useful, and I've modified some of the lab activities based upon this feedback. This is an example of the results. You can also compile results from multiple semesters, so you get numbers over multiple semesters or different sections, so you can cross-reference it different ways. They can leave comments in the details section. Within the survey, they can give comments. And I found it to be a useful one. Another little tool that I use is Instagroc. This is nice because you get these concept maps. So you can produce searches yourself and then put the links in so they go directly to that, and then they can explore the different links, or they can go in and freely search. If you set it up, you can also have it set up for classes, so then you can go see how they're using it, what they're searching for, so it helps you identify what topics that they're looking for information on. But I like that it expands on these concept maps, and there's different, there's a slider to increase how far in depth it searches. As you see there, it shows the key facts and different things. Links to websites, there's videos. The quizzes aren't that great, but it looks for quiz questions online for them to practice on the topics. Some of the tools that I'm exploring, and I don't have really good examples yet, but I'm trying to really increase the interactivity in the lessons. I've started to use Adobe Captivate. A new version of that just came out. This is desktop-based. This gives you the capabilities of doing simple branching and having some conditionals. You can add interactivity to videos. It's a nice way to set up case studies. Some of the previous talks had examples of that, where you can show a situation, have little videos, and then this will allow you to have give choices to the students, and they can make decisions, and then based upon their decision, you can branch it out to another activity to support if they got the answer right or wrong. To me, it's kind of funny because I've mentioned it to Kent that this feels like it's evolving back to HyperCard from many years ago. This is just a screenshot of Captivate. Not very exciting shot. This shows an example of photography of how you can use it. So this shows where you have two different f-stops, and then down below you have different ISOs. And by choosing one of these f-stops and then choosing an ISO, you can see the results of what the picture exposure would be like. So this is showing one combination, and there's another combination. You see it's interactive, so it's really increasing the interactivity for the students. And then one of the other ones that I've started to explore is Zebra Zaps, and this is just a really more advanced program. It's cloud-based. But the interactions that you can do, you can put needles and gauges, so you can really enhance the interaction and have a lot of decision support built into it. And I don't really have a good example to show you from any horticulture right now. I'm just starting to use it. It took a little longer to get things set up with it there. But this is fully online. And another one that I don't have a shot of here that after I started looking into this is Domino, and that's Domiknow. That seems to be similar to this, but I haven't really explored it. This shows an example here of how you can just customize and build these buttons, and see what's nice here is it has these objects that help with the decisions. You put the text on it, and so it's really set up that you're not doing the programming level, but you can really control the flow to different pages. This works with videos, stills, just different activities. So I'm really excited about getting into exploring this program. That's the one I don't have. One other thing that I use is Zoomify. There's a version of it within Photoshop. If you go to the website, there's much more advanced versions. This shows you, this is a cross-section of an onion root tip. And this is actually a panorama. This was set up as it's multiple pictures stitched together. So it's a high-resolution picture. If you put this on on the internet, it's very slow to download, and they would have to download it, and so they can get lost in working with the picture. And so by using Zoomify, it takes your picture, the high-resolution picture, and makes it into a whole bunch of little JPEGs that are the navigation links are all built in. And so what you get is you can use the slider at the bottom here, and you can slide in, and then you can navigate around. So it's showing you where you're navigating. I can't get the... there. See, so it's showing you a little map here, and then this is showing the enlargement. So this is from one of my lab activities where they count the different stages of mitosis from the exploring the whole root tip. So they see which zone mitosis occurs and the frequency of the different stages. So Zoomify, if you get into the, if you purchase the higher level versions of it, you can actually, as you zoom in, it'll give you the ability to add in labels. And so at different levels, you can add in different levels of labeling. It's a lot of these have evolved. In the last month and a half, I believe all the things I mentioned have come out with a new version. And the big new thing in the new versions are that they can automatically adapt to different devices. They've all switched from being flash-based to being HTML5, so that there's a lot of the incompatibilities have evolved, that there's more compatibility now. Okay, so that's some of my software, and then the other part that I wanted to just cover are my cameras that I use for shooting the pictures. I use a lot of pictures in my the teaching apps here. And I used big gear, a Nikon D800 for many years. And my big change is that I'm using smaller, lighter things. So that's I have that backpack here. But I've gone from this to, this is one of the setups. My only problem now is that I carried all my different setups here, so I overpacked my luggage here to bring all these things to show you. So I'm going to just go through a little bit of the ones that I've explored. I teach a photography course, and so I gather some equipment. Is my wife in here? I want to see how much I can mention. So these are some of the changes that have happened from DSLRs, which are the big cameras with the mirrors in it, to so that you see through the lens and it bounces the mirror up to the viewfinder. The evolution to things that are mirrorless but still have an LCD display either on the back of the camera or up in the viewfinder, so you're seeing a direct feed of what you're shooting. Some of the different levels are the different size sensors, the Sony series is with the A7, APC size sensors, micro four thirds, and the compact sensors. I'll show you the sensor sizes later. That was one of the ones, my slide is at the end for that. But so this is the Sony A7. So this has a full-size sensor. By full size, I mean this is the equivalent of a 35mm size sensor. And this Sony, they have made it a smaller camera. It has very high resolution. One of the models has up 36 megapixel. The lenses, it doesn't have a large number of lenses, but it's a it has the potential to develop into a pretty useful system. The camera is pretty weatherproof, and as I mentioned, it is smaller. Even though it looks like an SLR, this is actually small, and you'll see some of these later. the Olympus OMD EM1, I find this a real fun camera to shoot. I just shoot a lot more. I just have it with me a lot more, and so I end up capturing a lot more things. It's relatively small. It's big, but it's much smaller than my typical camera was I had a D800, a Nikon D800. The Sony CyberShot, I'm going to show you some comparison of sizes in a minute, but that's the CyberShot. This has a 1-inch sensor. And this one is the Panasonic Lumix LX7. This is a really good buy for macros. This one you can find for about $350, and there's a switch on the side. You can say it's macros, and you can go right up to the lens. I highly recommend this to the students in my class as an economical camera for macro capabilities. It's one to look out for if you're wanting a good buy, because the rumor is that the LX8 was supposed to come out in the middle of July. It isn't out, so maybe by the middle of August. But it's the new version's going to come out, and so this one will go down further in price probably. It's now a rather old. Here, I just want to show you some of the comparisons of the size. So that's the D800 compared to the EM1. That's the Lumix. And that's the Sony. So it's much smaller. For the resolution, you do get the best with the D800. That's showing a whole picture and then zoomed in 1:1. So, and I really like this for landscape shots because you could bring in the flowers. But the others aren't that bad. Even this is the Lumix. You can see it's a little less resolution, but it still is functional. So this is the Lumix is a very So the Lumix is down in this range, and that's the full frame up here. The Sony is this size sensor. So these are the size sensors, a comparison of that. So that was the last I have there. So after we're done here, I do have different things to show if you're interested in that. Any questions or no time?
Any questions?
No questions. Okay.